Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran, and we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, we want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Cardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And not only that, but Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners. We could not do this without your support, so please let our sponsors know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt, and especially during the times that we're going through with COVID-19 and the pandemic and all the stay-at-home orders. If you could support these sponsors in any way, please get out there and do so. Of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them, so you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. It's at FM Talk 106.5. Also, check us out on Facebook. A lot of good information there. And you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. Also, if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up via podcast at most of the podcasting sites. Just search Scuttlebutt or SBN, and Tom's Tirade is up via podcast at castbox.net. And we do have a packed show coming up for you tonight, so you can always check out the scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we will talk with Ms. Hillary Rodriguez. She's the volunteer coordinator with Lifeline's Counseling Services. She's going to give us the latest on what they're doing for Sexual Awareness Month in the midst of the pandemic. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of statistics out there, Tom, talking about some of the issues with domestic violence, and that would probably feed into some of this with everybody being, you know, stuck at in their stay at home. You know, there's all sorts of statistics about things happening out there, so she can get us up to speed on that. We'll also speak with Ms. Jennifer Berg. She's one of the attorneys with the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and she's going to get us up to speed on what the VA is doing with the CARES Act and how the funds that they're getting may impact our veterans. And a new Tom's Tirade on 19 by the numbers. It's kind of frightening to think that Tom's going to do a lot of math, but you won't want to miss it. But first, the coronavirus pandemic seems to be affecting nearly every aspect of America's lives. And our veterans and military are not immune. And while the VA as a whole seems to be containing the virus very well while serving our veterans, there is new concern from some of our lawmakers that revolves around veterans that may have been impacted by burn pits. Now, you may be going, well, how do those two things, you know, the burn pits happened, years ago in Afghanistan and Iraq. So why are these lawmakers concerned about our veterans who may have been exposed to these burn pits? And we're going to talk a little more about some of the ramifications of it with Jennifer Bard later in the show. But just to kind of bring you up to speed, obviously you're probably aware that coronavirus affects those who have issues, underlying issues, more so than the average healthy, would say, younger adult. And
Hey, watch it. You're talking about old folks.
I said younger.
Oh, I know.
Adults.
Yeah, but that, when you say younger, that means you're not, you know, you're implying old folks also.
Right. Well, I mean, Tom, I mean, on the grand scale of things, you're only like 36.
Oh, yeah, in dog years.
No, I mean, you know, I was about to say in reverse dog years, you're, you know.
Yeah, reverse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you all you have to do is look at all the hair that you've got on top of that head.
Ooh, what you say? At least I got some.
Yeah, right. Hey, there you go. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, one of those issues are those who have these underlying health concerns. And obviously, because of the way this virus works, one of those is just in the general population, those that have problems with their respiratory systems, which then feeds into the question of how this virus may impact those who were exposed to the smoke and the toxins from the burn pits. And specifically, it's Senators Amy Klobuchar, who was running for president on the Democratic side, although many of you may have never picked up on that because she kind of was in and out. She's a Democrat out of Minnesota. And Mike Rounds, who is a Republican from South Dakota, they have stressed that the VA should be more proactive in caring for veterans with compromised respiratory systems. And here's the one thing that I don't know if they're trying to politicize this, Tom, or not, but they have drilled down to the point where they're saying compromised respiratory systems as a result of exposure to burn pits.
Right.
And of course, there's a significant number of veterans, you know, the VA estimates over 3.5 million veterans may have been exposed to burn pits. And you have over 200,000 veterans and service members who have signed up for this burn pit registry. But with those numbers, Tom, that's a significant portion of our veterans population. But when they write and they say, okay, well, we want you to be more proactive for veterans with compromised respiratory systems, you've got to think, Tom, that it can't be just those with the burn pit registry, because you also have veterans from other conflicts and veterans who are in the VA system who simply because of their age are probably facing things such as chronic bronchitis or asthma or heart disease or even COPD that may not have anything to do with the burn pits. So it seems to me that although the burn pits might be sort of the focal point, it seems to me that this is something that, yes, the VA probably should be very aware of those veterans who have these other underlying issues, underlying health conditions, that they should be reaching out or at least be more aware if this veteran has these underlying conditions. And so it'll be interesting to see exactly how far this push goes, Tom. When you look at it right now, the VA overall, with the numbers that they are reporting, yesterday, they have 5,597 veteran patients in the VA Health Administration have been confirmed with COVID-19. Only 357 have died in VA hospitals. Now, of course, you know, there's a little bit of semantics there. We don't know how many veterans outside of those hospitals may have passed away. But you know, Tom, if you look at those numbers and you look at what we're looking at nationwide, it looks like the VA may have gotten ahead of this.
Yep, they're working on it, Cal, and we're going to take this break.
Oh, well, absolutely. Hey, on the other side of the break, we'll have Ms. Hillary Rodriguez, the volunteer coordinator with Lifeline's Counseling Services, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106. Or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone and check us out on Facebook. Lots of good information there. And it is a privilege to be speaking with Ms. Hillary Rodriguez, the volunteer coordinator with Lifeline's Counseling Services. Hillary, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on tonight, Hillary. I've had pleasure being able to talk to you on a couple of occasions about all the things that are going on with the Lifeline's Counseling Services. And you guys are right in the middle of all of this events that's going on. And I tell you, the sexual assault awareness, this being Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we've got a lot of events involved with that. You want to bring us up to date on some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this month, April, is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is a month dedicated to raising awareness and educating the community on the prevalence of sexual assault and abuse. And usually, each year we have events and programs that just absolutely fill the month of April all around town. But of course, this year things look a little bit different. So we have moved all of our events online, and we have been able to make them transition pretty easy to virtual. One of the things that we did was a Take Back the Night video. Usually what we'll do is we'll come together at the park and we'll have a rally and a candlelight vigil, and we just walk together in solidarity for survivors of sexual assault. But since we weren't able to be together, several community partners all across the state of Alabama came together and sent in messages of encouragement and support and hope and inspiration. So what we did is put all those messages together. We have local musicians who performed songs. We had people who read poetry, and then it finished with a sign display of just people, you know, expressing their support for survivors and their loved ones. And we created a video to share with survivors. We also did an art therapy workshop, and last night we did a virtual open mic where people could come on and just share their writings or their poems of just about healing and their process of recovery through whatever trauma they've gone through. We basically want these events to be a reminder to survivors that they're not forgotten, especially during this time, because, you know, with everybody having to be isolated and self-quarantined, survivors often feel a lot of isolation and hopelessness anyways whenever they're trying to heal from their trauma. So having to be completely separated from the outside world can make it even more difficult. So we just wanted to let them know that they're not alone and they're not forgotten, and that we're here to empower them and help them in whatever way that we can or whatever way that they need.
I know there's numerous events in that video. Could you just highlight them a little bit as you go through them for the benefit of the people?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So again, we did the video. We did the art therapy workshop, which was a vision board art therapy, which is basically just grab some old magazines or newspapers or whatever you have laying around and just kind of build an image of what you want to see for yourself in the future, especially when right now things just seem really bleak and kind of hopeless. That can help bring us some light to our situation. Then we did the spoken word. And our next event that we have coming up is a virtual art scroll, because usually each year we do a really awesome art display during Art Walk downtown, and we usually have a window display at the Haunted Bookshop on Dauphin Street. But since we weren't able to do that, we're going to be doing a virtual art scroll, which is where we're going to be compiling many different pieces of art in several different forms, whether it's photography, painting, writing, stories, anything. And it can either be by survivors or for survivors, just kind of sharing inspiration and encouragement and motivation, and just putting that all together in an album for people to view at their leisure and just see very uplifting, positive pieces.
Now, how can our listeners get involved and be able to watch that video?
Yeah, so the Take Back the Night video we shared on the Lifeline's Facebook page. It's also on YouTube. If you look up Alabama Take Back the Night 2020, it will be the first video that pops up. You can watch it there. And as for the art display, we will be doing that on our Facebook page as well. That's going to be at the end of the month on April 30th. And if anybody is interested in submitting pieces for the album, we would absolutely love to see it. And we would love to have you be a part of it. And you can email hrodriguez@lifelinesmobile.org.
All right. That's awesome. That being said, how about another figures that you have some information in regards to sexual assault in our military?
Yeah, so one of the things that I've learned in my time as a victim advocate with Lifeline's Counseling Services, because in addition to volunteer coordinator, I'm also a victim advocate and community liaison. And one of the things that I've learned is that sexual assault is very common in the military. I had no idea that it was as big of an issue as it is. And I also learned that there's a lot of additional challenges that come along with it. I mean, getting through the trauma of an assault is already really, really tough. But when you add on all these additional challenges, for those in the military, it can make it a lot harder. I recently found out that sexual assault in the American military has surged in the last 2 years, driven almost entirely by a 50% increase in assaults on women. And also, women now make up about 20% of the military and are the targets of 63% of the assault.
Unbelievable.
And the youngest and lowest ranking women are typically the ones who are most at risk.
Good gracious. Mm-mm-mm. Now, we also have another serious problem in the military, and that's the suicide in the military.
Yeah.
And how are we going to do the Operation Deep Dive, which is fixing to happen here?
Yeah, so Operation Deep Dive, this is an America's Warriors partnership project, and they are asking for our help. They want to know if you know a veteran who has died by suicide or non-natural causes in the last 12 months. They're asking for us to please consider joining the fight as an interview participant. The insight that you can provide in this interview can contribute greatly to the formation of a proactive approach to preserving the life of our service members and veterans.
All right. That is awesome. Now, we're getting down to about 2 minutes left here, I think, but give us a little insight on Lifeline Services COVID updates and resources and pertaining to like the 211 hotline.
Yeah, so things definitely look a little bit different, but we're still providing all the same services that we were before. Now we're just doing it either via phone or video chatting, basically telehealth. And also with advocacy services, typically we're with the survivors in the hospital during the forensic exam, but because of hospitals being restricted to essential personnel only, unfortunately, our advocates are no longer able to be there in person with the survivor, but we're still providing advocacy services during the exam over the phone. So we still have our credit consumer counseling, we have family counseling, homicide support, suicide support. We have the Rape Crisis Division. We are still working full time to help in any way that we can. 211 has an amazing veterans guide. You can call them Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and they'll be happy to provide you those resources.
Awesome.
We also have the 24/7 Rape Crisis Line that has trained advocates always available and ready to talk. The number for the Rape Crisis Hotline is 251-473-7273. And we also have a 24/7 Suicide Hotline, and that number is 1-800-273-8255. Or you can text HOME to 741-741, and they also have trained advocates available and ready to talk.
How can somebody help? How can somebody get involved?
There's a lot of different ways that you can get involved and help join our mission of just providing resources and assistance to our community and those in need. One of the ways is you can become a volunteer with Lifeline's Counseling Services. Again, we have several different divisions, and we can always, always use the help. You can become a volunteer victim advocate with the Rape Crisis Center. You can help take 211 calls. You can help work the suicide hotline. There's so many different ways that you can get involved. You're always welcome to reach out to me at hrodriguez@lifelinesmobile.org, and I will be more than happy to discuss your areas of interest and get you pointed in the right direction. You can also consider making a donation at lifelinesmobile.org or text SAAMRCC to 91999. You can also support and participate in our events and also just sharing them. As they come across your timeline, just sharing them with friends and family, just helping us get the word out is a huge help as well. And one of the most important ways that you can help is just loving your neighbor, performing acts of kindness whenever possible, and just remembering that we're all fighting a battle that others don't know about.
But, you know, we got to hang in there, though, and all get through this together. You have done an awesome job on your interview tonight, and a great amount of information, and we thank you. But
thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. We'll have you back. And for all you listeners out there, you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, Ms. Jennifer Byrd with the law firm of Gardberg & Kimberly when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Hit a lick against what's wrong. Say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans. Today, our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, you can check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyers, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg & Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services with the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And it is always great to be joined by Ms. Jennifer Byrd from the law firm of Gardberg & Kimberly. Jennifer, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thanks, Cal. Thanks, Tom. You know, I like being with you guys. I like talking about all these things that affect our veterans.
Yes, and you're an awesome veterans advocate. But, you know, one thing we need to remind everybody that Gardberg & Kimberly is a local firm and been in business here in Mobile for over 30 years, but you guys are still open.
Yes, we definitely are. We're open with telephone, email. We can file claims. We can do what needs to be done, whether you have a VA claim or a Social Security claim. Just reach out and let us know if we can help you.
That is awesome. That's awesome. And you know, you're well respected and regarded in the industry too. Now the VA has begun to implement some of the CARES Act provisions. Can you give us a little insight on that?
Absolutely. So let me explain first off what the CARES Act is. A lot of people have been calling it the Stimulus Act. That's not what it is. It's the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. And it was signed into law by the president on March 27th of this year. And it does provide some funding for the VA, which is fantastic. And the funding that was given to the VA from the CARES Act is going to be used for a whole lot of services that will help our veterans, from medical care and telehealth to assistance for veterans, borrowers, and homeowners. And VA Secretary Robert Wilkie stated on April 8th, since the president signed the CARES Act, the VA has been moving rather quickly to implement what the president intended for them to do, which is hire new staff, take care of our homeless veterans, and use the VA's cutting-edge telehealth technology to help keep appointments and also to help some of our state-run veterans' homes.
That is awesome. Now, they have already started some of that telehealth, and they've also started some of the I don't know what name you've got on it, but where you guys are actually hearing cases online, and I guess you're using some form of Skype or something like that.
Well, yeah, that's something that the BVA does, the Board of Veterans Appeals, and they have for quite a while been doing virtual hearings because the judges are in Washington for the majority of the time. And since December, we've been able to have the virtual hearings in our office. And so they're using the platform that the VA has for their telehealth and mixing it in with these virtual things that they use with the BVA in order to reach out to the veterans during all of this stuff going on with the coronavirus. In fact, part of the money that the VA was given from the CARES Act is being used specifically for telehealth, whether it be calling in and having their doctor's appointments over the phone or actually being able to use the virtual, meaning they can do screen-to-screen time so they can actually see their doctor face-to-face.
They actually have brought that on board in the Mobile VA clinic already. I had an appointment like 2 weeks ago for my yearly, and I had gone in and did have my lab work done there, and they were real strict about, you know, sitting 6-8 feet apart, and they wouldn't let you walk together going in to see the lab people and what have you. So you wasn't exposed to anything there, and everything was wiped down and all. But then my appointment was like the next day, but that afternoon I got a call, and the nurse said, asked me if I was sick or if I had any of the symptoms of the coronavirus, and I told her no, that it was just for a yearly. And she said, well, that's fine, then your doctor or provider, they call them, will call you sometime tomorrow and have an interview with you and take care of anything that you may need to take care of, you know. So I thought that was unique. Not only
it
that.
It is. And I'll tell you, that's something that the VA has actually been ahead of the curve from a lot of doctor's offices, as far as I understand, because they already had some of this telehealth in play prior to the coronavirus pandemic. And so what they've done is taken some of this money and they've expanded that telehealth. And a large portion of this telehealth resources are not just like you're talking with doctors and normal physicals, but it's being used to promote mental health appointments. And just for example, a lot of the mental health appointments have skyrocketed, and this is the health appointment, mental health appointments, but through the telehealth or the virtual ones. Here's an example. In February, there were only about 40,000. In March, there were over 154,000 mental health telehealth appointments.
Unbelievable. That's unique that they're doing that because our vets need that.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times they need that face-to-face, too. So the online video chats with physicians have increased by like 70%. So I'm very pleased that this is something that's being used to help our veterans. You know, there are slowdowns, and that's across the board in the United States. But I think that our VA has tried their best to move forward and to try to help our veterans, and especially in the mental health portion of it.
Right, and that's awesome. And I see that that's going to continue after all of this is over with, and we go back into some semblance of normal, where which it'll never be normal again. But we talked a little bit a while ago about the burn pit register for the veterans. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little bit more insight on that?
I will. And, you know, if your listeners have listened to me before, they know that I've talked about the burn pit registry before. And the burn pit issue is something that's very important to me, along with a lot of veterans. But just as an update to remind our veterans, the burn pit registry for anyone who served in Iraq, Afghanistan, or Djibouti. And there are certain requirements that you have to have to fall under what the VA considers to be exposed to burn pits. And that's, of course, something I could explain to somebody. I don't know that we have the time today.
If you have any questions
about that, to let me know. But there are a lot of veterans. I believe that they have said there's approximately 3.5 million veterans service members that were exposed to these burn pits. But right now, there are only about 200,000 on the registry. So I'm going to start out by saying, if any of you veterans have been exposed, or any of you that are still in service were exposed to these burn pits in these places, please get on the registry. It can only help you moving forward.
Right.
And so I know Cal talked a little bit about these bipartisan efforts to get our Secretary Wilkie of the VA to be a bit more proactive caring for these vets. And they did send this letter on April 20th pointing out that these service members who've been exposed to this stuff have a greater risk of very severe reactions to the COVID-19.
That is awesome information,
Part of that is because so many of these veterans have talked about compromised respiratory systems because of this exposure, the burn pit.
Right.
I mean, it's a little bit of common sense.
Well, the flus and this virus that we've got now, it's something that can take these guys out because they've already got the lung problems and respiratory problems. So we appreciate you being on board with us tonight. And as usual, Gardberg and Cumberland is always at the front of the line taking care of our veterans. Phone numbers and your contact points.
All right, local 251-343-1111. You can always reach us at GardbergLaw.com as well.
Thank you so much, Ms. Jennifer Bird.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And for more information, you can always check out ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on 19 by the numbers, and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt.
Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
There are 3 kinds of lies: lies, damned lies, and statistics. The American novelist Mark Twain popularized this saying in his chapter from my autobiography. Actually, the quote likely derives from earlier expressions in the 1890s regarding legal witnesses as reflected upon by lawyers and judges of that time. And while its origins are in the realm of the powder wig barristers, it can be equally applied to situations that we encounter every day. For instance, a lie could be as simple as, "No, dear, that dinner was fabulous." While a damned lie might be more along the lines, "Of course those jeans don't make you look fat." Both of which can keep the peace or explode in your face, depending on the circumstances. Statistics, on the other hand, can have a damaging effect because of the ability and proclivity of those in politics and the media to manipulate them for their personal advantage or political agenda. Now, some of you may be thinking, just where is the top cat going with all of this mumbo-jumbo about lawyers and lies? Well, it is actually the current state of our nation and the grips of this pandemic that have me thinking about just where the truth lies. How oxymoronic the quote, "where the truth lies." And it took me back to that often used quote. In doing so, I formulated what I think is a much more applicable update given the current state of affairs. There are hypothetical models, scientific models and political scientists. I'll get to the political scientists in a bit. But in keeping with my prior applications, hypothetical model would be akin to telling your significant other that hypothetically her is going to actually fit into those slightly tight jeans.
Lord have mercy, how she even get them bridges on that honky tonk.
Of course, hypothetically, anything is possible. That is somewhat akin to what we have been treated to by many of the so-called experts in the world of epidemiology who rolled out apocalyptic models with the Wuhan flu killing billions around the world and millions here at home. Of course, anything is possible, hypothetically. Scientific models, on the other hand, are supposed to remove much of the uncertainty associated with throwing hypothetical darts against the wall to find an answer. The scientific approach would be more like having your significant other actually try on the aforementioned jeans and discovering that A, she can slip them on, or B,
oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big.
Okay. Either way, you have to have some solid data to work with, so to speak. In the world of the Hong Kong flu, this is where the far-flung prediction of a Spanish flu redux meet the reality that the numbers are nowhere near the catastrophic estimates that we were given by the still relied upon, although they have yet to be right, experts. Of course, much like weather experts, this group of people can be wrong, dramatically wrong in most cases, and yet we continue to rely upon their predictions in shaping our approach to the virus. That brings us to the third party of the triad, the quote, political scientists. Let me clarify that these are not the political scientists that are produced at most of the liberal institutions of higher learning that go on to be policy wonks in the Beltway or overpaid lobbyists on K Street, or even worse, paid pundits on the talking head cable supposed news shows. No, this is a new breed of scientists that have evolved into a class of bureaucratic experts within the health organizations of our governing bodies, such as the CDC and the NIH, among others. The esteemed Dr. Anthony Fauci from the President's Coronavirus Task Force is a prime example. Fauci has served as the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984, and according to Wikipedia, has been an advisor to every U.S. president since Ronald Reagan. However, if you look closely at Fauci's advice on the virus, especially early on in the press, he has had to change his expert opinions more often than John Kerry's flip-flops. Riding closely by his side during many of the press briefings is the Scarfinista, Dr. Deborah Leah Birx, an American physician who specializes in HIV and AIDS, immunology, and global health. Interestingly, though, since 2014, Birx has served as the United States Global AIDS Coordinator, which is, get this, a position within the State Department. So, what we really have in Dr. Birx is a globalist diplomat who has been trusted with the health of our nation combating a virus that is utterly outside her field of expertise. Now, I am no expert on infectious diseases, but even this country boy can take a look at the numbers and tell that some things just, damn it, don't add up. So here is 19 by the numbers. Initially, we were told that the virus would kill 2 million people in the U.S. Then it was 1.2 million. Then 800,000, then 600,000. Now we're down to 60,000. Please understand that I wish no one would lose a loved one to this virus, but you must also know that I am no stranger to losing loved ones, and the pain is very, very real. However, I also understand that death is part of life, and that we lose Americans every day of every year, nearly 8,000 each day, as part of normal mortality patterns, according to the CDC. I have to say that I was surprised at this number, but it does put things in perspective. Even more sobering, each year we lose 647,000 to heart disease, and yet the fried chicken joints stay open. 607,000 to cancer, and yet the tobacco companies are not shuttered by the government. Opioids, 72,000, but the Dems won't shut down the southern border. Alcohol kills 88,000 Americans each year, and yet they were deemed essential during the government-imposed shutdown of our economy. So since January the 21st, when the government started reporting COVID deaths, 22,000 Americans have been taken by the bottle. And yet you can still swill a corona while you avoid the virona. Not so shocking, but definitely appalling, is the fact that while the virus has supposedly claimed around 40,000 Americans as of this writing, Planned Parenthood, which was kept open as a, quote, essential service by unelected judges around the nation, has killed 86,500 souls in their abortion factories over the same time period. Remember, abortion is deemed essential because, according to the progressives, it is a female's right to do what she wants with her body. Which brings me to my next number, 22 million. The number of Americans out of work due to the government-imposed closure of businesses, social distancing, mandatory stay-at-home orders, and other examples of government overreach. 22 million that have lost their livelihood and the ability to take care of their families. 22 million and their loved ones that are now relying on politicians like Nancy Botoxi, who wants to share the pain of the people with her $20,000 refrigerators and $15 a pop artisan ice cream. Millions upon millions whose lives have been impacted by the draconian measures of a government out of control imposing dictates that are all about saving the lives of those you love while destroying the lives that you have worked so hard to build. However, there may be a light at the end of the tunnel, as patriots around the nation are beginning to demand the return of their constitutional rights from the despots at every level of government. Turning the phrase back on the progressives, these Americans have the common sense to care for themselves and their loved ones, and have done so for the last 200 plus years without the heavy hand of government to guide them. They are demanding their liberties as enshrined in the Constitution and the right to do what they want with their bodies. Botoxi has claimed that those protesting for their rights are revolutionaries. She might want to choose her words a little bit more carefully, or at least get a better grasp on history, because the last time we had true revolutionaries in this country, it didn't fare so well for the ruling class. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Here's another number. One. Rest in peace, Rennie.
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Tom, a lot of good information there. You know, and we've had a lot of good information not only in the tirade, but in the show altogether tonight from Lifelines Counseling Services and Gardberg and Kimberly. So we want to thank them for being with us, and we want to thank you know, everybody for joining us. It's been a great show, Tom.
Certainly has, and I certainly enjoyed it tonight. I just hope and pray that everybody keeps your distance and keep your hands and all clean and wear your mask. And for all of those people that are talking about the Planned Parenthood, I think we're putting a mask on the wrong thing.
Yeah, well, I'm going to wear my Darth Vader mask.
Oh, yeah. For the
most part. Anyway, hey, God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah.